Is it one of your favorite? Is it one of your favorite pieces of?
It's something that I was messing around with. Yeah.
Oh.
You don't. You know, like.
Well.
Not your cup of tea, huh?
Suppose I could. Suppose it can grow on you. Most of the music, you know, that I like, I didn't like at first.
Right.
Should we do an experiment and just let it play for 20 minutes and see if more people tune into the station?
I think most people will hate it.
Oh. All right. Well, then let's let them hear what they're used to.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Are you as happy as I am to see the sunshine? I almost forgot what it was and certainly what it looked like. Welcome to the Saturday special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. Your favorite radio station. We're going to be on the air on this two-way radio talk show right up until noontime, so do stay with us.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
So, Dave, guess why we played the special fanfare music bed instead of the crossfire?
I have no idea.
Well, it means something. It means that we're going to have a special guest.
Is a guest who I see right there?
That's exactly right.
Wow. We've actually had a lot of calls waiting for her to come back with her commentaries.
Oh, okay. So now you spilled the beans, and now everybody knows who the guest is.
I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, well, that's okay. No, it's fine. It's fine. It was actually a good segue. Thank you. The commentaries have been missing for several months, but now we're going to make up for that with two more hours, because we had my mom Kay on during a noon balloon earlier this week. Was it? Yes. No, it was Thursday, I guess. Right. And we had a record number of phone calls. And you know me, I get nervous if we don't have enough phone calls. So I figured, what better guest can we have than Ma? Hey, Ma, welcome.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
You know, I said I was going to interview you and said, no, we're going to talk politics. So you don't want to be interviewed.
So shall we talk politics? Well, I think that politics, national politics, is on every thinking American's mind now. And there are things that we really have to worry about. Excuse me. Let me say, I'd like to ask the audience a question. What about the forthcoming election worries you the most? Besides the fact that Hillary and Bill might be running our country for another 8 years.
Ma, you're assuming that everybody who listens to KSCO is of like mind as you.
No, I'm not.
Some people who listen to KSCO love Hillary and Bill.
Then so you have them call in.
Oh, that's a great idea. 479-1080. In fact, I know that... It's almost funny. I don't mean to make light of this. But the mere mention of Hillary Clinton makes you bristle, you know?
That's true.
So why is that?
Well,
She certainly is not charismatic. I understand that. But why does it bother you so much?
Because she's dishonest. And I guess maybe I'm one of the few people who think that those tears a few days ago were crocodile tears. There's something very strange about Hillary being in not a good place, and then suddenly she wept a few tears, And the whole situation changed the next day. But that brings us back to the one other thing that I mentioned that worries me and a lot of people the most. I'd like to hear from the audience about what could that be about the forthcoming election that is very worrisome.
Okay, well, 479-1080 is the phone number to call, or mz@ksco.com is the email address to use. And we already have our first caller, so let's put Wayne in Brookdale on the air and welcome him to KSCO. Wayne, you're on the air with MZ and K.
Hi,
Thank
Wayne.
You. Hi, Mike. Kay, nice to have you back.
Thank you.
What I listened to you last week about the borders and losing our country.
Yeah.
The main thing, before I answer your question, the main thing is I want you to let the public what we can do maybe to shunt this action of our losing our nationalism. Now, the answer to your question that I would like to give, what bothers me the most about what's going on is everybody in the news is covering elections. Who the devil is looking after our country?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
That's a good point.
Okay, so was there... Is that what you were thinking? No.
No.
Something else.
No. It's
okay.
Yeah.
Wayne. Okay. I guess that's it, right?
Yes. That'll be it. Thank
okay,
you, sir.
Thank you. Thanks for calling. That's that was Wayne in Brookdale. Open lines at your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO 479-1080. Don't tell us, right? I mean, you want to wait until other people.
So I'm sure that many people will think about this and come up with the same idea.
Really?
The same concern.
Okay. Well, we'll see. So far, no calls. So while we're waiting for that, we can talk about something else. Now, this is totally off the subject, okay? Totally off the subject. But we have a 10,000-watt radio station and a radio program that at least I think many people listen to if they don't call. I want to know what credit card company has the best cash rebate. 479-1080. I'm going to switch over my credit card because I'm tired of airline miles where all kinds of strings are attached when you try to cash them in and so forth, okay? I got tons of airline miles. Now I want to just get money back, okay? And you know, you have a cashback credit card, right?
That's right.
Yeah, do you know what that is? I mean, well, of course you know what it is, but I mean, you know what you remember what...
It's a MasterCard.
It's a regular Master... It's a
right.
cashback MasterCard?
Right. Right. I found out a long time ago that I couldn't get on a flight if I wanted to unless I planned it a year ahead of time. And I don't plan things a year ahead of time.
So you opted for this. Now, how much research did you do? Are you satisfied that you have the best cash rebate card?
No, I don't know if it's the best. I just knew I'd rather have cash than promises.
Oh, okay. Good. 479-1080, your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. It's an open mic Saturday special with MZ and K. I think we're going to have a knockdown, drag-out program on next week on the Saturday special involving atheism, if I'm not mistaken. I know we have scheduled a very special program the week after that, and that's with Timmy from Timmy and Lassie. Yeah, he's written a book called Timmy's in the Well, and he's going to be here with us on the Saturday special. He's someone that that I watched when I was a kid, I'm sure. Many, many thousands of people in our listening audience, also watched Lassie. So that should be a really fun Saturday special. And that I think that's the 26th, two Saturday specials from now. In any case, 479-1080 is the phone number to call. Asa and Live Oak, welcome to KSCO. You are on. Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're on.
Oh, hi. Good morning.
Hi.
Happy New Year.
To you, too.
Welcome back, Kay.
Thank you very much, Asa.
You said that's what worries me is the North American Union and everything that goes along with it, like the highway up the middle of our continent. I'm speechless with disturbance.
Yeah.
But does that have anything to do with the upcoming election, though?
Yes, because they're not mentioning it.
Of course not. They're not mentioning it. And isn't it interesting that we, the people, had nothing to say about this situation?
Absolutely. They're just leaving us out.
Do you know, Asa, why I think that they're leaving us out of the of the right to vote on issues like the North American Treaty. The leaders figured out a way where the people shouldn't have a right to vote. They have selected committees, committees from Congress, and they're the ones that make those decisions. So we don't make many decisions.
Well, they certainly don't give us a chance, because it's clear that someone has swiped our country out from underneath us.
Exactly.
It has probably to do with this dollar falling down as a cellar, and probably with the idea of trying to get rid of our money altogether and change its name to something else when they get that stupid highway built.
Yeah.
And I do believe that we have to accept the fact that whereas we used to be, prideful citizens of the United States, they're trying to take the United States right out from under us, and I don't think anybody should call themselves Americans anymore. We should just call ourselves United Statesians. Or something.
Well, we the people have become redundant. They're very smart, and they use the committees that probably the president and his group pick. And then they announce that this is what we're going to do. So how much longer are we going to allow that to happen without making a lot of noise?
Well, the whole point is there's not enough of us that are alert or that know about it or that care about it.
Right.
I've mentioned it a lot of times to a lot of people, and they just sort of look at me.
And they say it's impossible. That can't be happening.
Well, Ron Paul is the only presidential candidate who is concerned about those kinds of things, because he says, let's do our country. Let's be a country unto ourselves and not debate or have any kind of.
So I could vote for him.
What, say that again?
I re-registered yesterday so I could vote for Ron Paul.
Really?
Yes, I did.
And when did you decide that he was the right candidate for you?
Well, just about as soon as he opened his mouth. I mean, I was a registered libertarian changing to Republican, not a Democrat.
Well, let's get back to the subject of what's the scariest thing that's about to happen?
About
the forthcoming election.
The fact that no one, they are all backed, as far as I'm concerned, except for Ron Paul. The people that are running are all backed by the big people that are made connected with the people that think that this North American free trade thing is terrific.
Mm-hmm.
And they that's why they don't mention it. They know we don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you think enough people don't like it? Or there's a lot of people who don't even listen to talk radio who couldn't give a damn. I mean, they just party and drink and enjoy their lives and live merrily along.
No, it's not mentioned on most talk radio. I think your station is maybe one of the only places in the United States where the subject has even been brought up.
Are we considered a fringe talk radio station?
Unhappily, I think you are the heart of the United States, and I just wish your heart would keep beating. Thank you very much.
Well, you're very kind to say that, We're a Santa Cruz, Monterey, Bay Area, Silicon Valley talk radio station.
It happens to still be
How much impact can we have?
Whatever it is, it's better than nothing.
In some small way, if the little leaven will leaven the whole lump, we in this area can be the little leaven. That's all there is.
Right. Anyhow, shall I give you guys a hint?
I can't.
Don't give a hint.
No.
Don't give a hint. I just, there's nobody calling. They're either totally stumped or there's nobody listening to the Saturday special because it's a sunny day and everybody's out doing things. That it could only mean those two things. There's nothing else.
Maybe they think our conversation is so fascinating they don't want to interrupt.
Wait a minute. Now there's a ton of callers. What happened?
Because you complained. I'm going to hang up and let Kay have somebody else because I know she and I are beating on the same bunch.
Okay. All righty. Okay. Thanks, Asa.
God bless.
Yes, to you too. Well. I mean, now, we still have some lines open at 479-1080. In fact, the line Asa just vacated is now open because she vacated it. So give us a call. Ma, maybe we'll have someone who's listening, give you the right answer here. Richard in PG. Hey, we talked to you the other day, didn't we?
Yeah, you sure did, yeah. Because, you know, obviously I feel the same frustration that you do. But Kay and Michael, you know, what do you recommend? How do we do it?
How do we make
the change? How do we make people recognize what's going on? It's very frustrating. I try and talk to people, and like what you said, they just shut off. They really don't care. It's enough said, I got to go buy a cheeseburger.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
We just have to keep trying. Can't stop, that's all.
If it gets bad enough, there will be a revolt.
Well,
or maybe there won't be because the guns will be taken away first or something.
Michael, you just said something that I was afraid you'd hang up on me if I said that.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
Why?
Yeah,
Why would I hang up on anybody?
Well, actually, I'm
a really nice talk show host.
I know, you're a great guy, but
sometimes I'm too nice.
I said something like that before, and one of you guys actually did. He called me a nut and hung up on me.
Now, yeah. Who was that person? We'll fire him.
I think it might have been Billy when I called up.
Okay,
one time
Billy's fired. Okay, no, I'm only kidding. Billy's the last guy we'd fire because.
Okay, I just pulled off on Highway 1 by 68, so I don't crash my car. but anyway, I called him up one time and I said I got a real crazy idea when we're talking about immigration. I said let's pull our troops back out of Iraq and invade Mexico, and take over the country and then everything would be better. But he didn't think that was funny. So he hung up with me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I think I know the end. I think I know the reason why.
Yeah,
but
that,
that's okay.
Too.
So anyhow, about the guns.
I've actually talked to people about, you know, like, would you, you know, what do you think? And everybody's kind of hemming and hawing. But there are a lot more people really upset about the direction of the country than I think the average person knows. I mean,
if that's true, then Ron Paul will be elected president.
Well.
If that's true, because everybody else is the same thing in both parties, as far as I'm concerned.
The system is totally broken.
Yeah, and I don't know if Ron Paul is that great either. You know, everybody calls him Reagan-esque. He certainly doesn't have any charisma like Reagan did.
And
he certainly can't communicate like the president, like President Reagan did. But I like a lot of the things that he says. And he makes a lot of sense about us minding our own business. And that's all he ever said in the first presidential debate, where Giuliani jumped on him and made him sound like a nut for suggesting or believing that 9/11 was an inside job. He didn't say that at all.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
Well,
okay, wait a minute. My mother and I have had this ongoing battle, okay? And I said that I was going to find the YouTube, debate. Where you guys know what I'm talking about. The very first one, I think Chris Wallace was just like the last one, except this was several months ago.
Right.
Please, someone send me an email, okay? I'm sorry, I was lazy, I forgot, I spaced out on this until now. Somebody who's listening, please send me an email right now during the program, mz@ksco.com. Do a little YouTube search for Ron Paul original presidential debate or something like that, and send me a link so I can play that on the email and play it to my mother and play it to everybody else.
Okay.
And we will know once and for all what he said, okay?
Okay, and I can tell you that the first sentence that Ron Paul said to introduce himself turned me off and turned a lot of people off and turned Giuliani off. And that was what made him say, "How can you believe such a thing?" Okay?
He didn't say
that. Research it, Michael.
Okay, please, someone in the audience, please do
Michael,
this.
Michael, I love you, but I think your mother's right once again.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he said that we blew ourselves up.
Right.
Something really silly.
He said it was an inside job.
It was an inside job, yeah.
He didn't say that.
He did that, and after that,
okay, I will eat crow in front of everybody. If someone sends, that's the wonderful thing about the electronic age we live in, is that we can check something out instantly, okay? And I would do it right now, except I'm hosting the program. You know, hey, Ma, you could take over and host the program while I do the about 5 minutes it'll take me, and I'll get it, and I'll
all
be
right.
able to play.
Okay,
I can do that?
I can't.
Well, actually, I'll show you how to push the buttons, and you can take the.
No, I can't.
You need to learn this anyhow. No? Okay. Well, yeah. Go ahead, Richard. We'll finish up, and we're done.
Instead of eating crow, I'd rather you buy me a beer. I'd rather do it that way. A crow is nothing, you know? Anybody can eat crow. But, you know, I did tell you, and you probably forgot, but I'm one of the Swiftboat veterans for the truth, you know?
Okay.
And prior to that period in my life, I actually believed in the news. I actually believed that, that there were people, journalists, actually were trying to go out there. I mean, as naive as I was, you know, I actually believed that these guys were going to give us two sides of the story. Once I got involved in Swift Boat Veterans for the Truth and saw how nothing we said was stated properly on the radio or TV, that's when I said, wow, we are broken. We are broken. And I really think that it might come to people taking up arms that say, wait a second, we've gone too far. You know, this is not what this country's supposed to be about. Because had I known that we'd go so far the other way, why would I have risked my life?
Okay. Richard, thanks very much for your call. We have Martin in Santa Cruz. Patricia's actually next. Chris in Aptos. Daniel in Watsonville. And Mike in Soquel. All of you stay with us. We promise we'll get you on. We're going to try to move through this pretty quickly here. But Patricia in Soquel is next. Welcome to KSCO and the Saturday special. Patricia, you're on.
Hi. Kay, welcome back. I missed your commentaries. I don't always agree with you, but I really miss your clarity and your passion. So I'm
Thank
glad
you.
You're healthy.
Now you just have to learn to
Thank
agree
you.
With Kay.
Well, no, you don't have to
no,
agree with
No, we don't.
Me.
That's the beauty of our country.
Oh, right.
And
okay.
That's the beauty of your show, Michael.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's
right.
just learn to listen to each other.
My biggest concern, well, there's several, and some people have already mentioned them, but is the electronic voting.
Bingo.
I don't trust it. I don't care. I mean, there's big questions about the Democratic poll. I am more progressive than I am conservative. However, I prefer not to have Hillary Clinton. I think she's part of the same old, same old. I don't trust her. I don't want her. I would choose either Dennis Kucinich or Ron Paul. I think they're the ones who are out there. The thing is, they're on different ends of the spectrum on some of the internal things, but in terms of taking care of our country, our budget, our economics, I think they're very, very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And well, I'm really concerned about the undue influence of corporations.
Yes, and you mentioned the answer that I worry about.
Yes.
Because with these electronic machines, they can do a lot of shenanigans. I think the only kind of a safe way is to have a paper trail.
Yes.
When you vote, you should have a copy of what you voted.
I am so tired of hearing people say, what we need to do is this, and then not doing it. Now, back in 2000, we had the Hanging Chad debacle, and everybody said, oh, no, we can't have we've got to have a paper trail, and that's got to be instituted. Here it is, 8 years later, it's not instituted.
Well,
I can think of something worse.
Well,
I can think of the gas lines back in the 70s, where in the 73 and 74, where the OPEC, you know what happened, the gas lines and the gas shortage and the first jump in oil prices, which is nothing like we've had recently. Uh-huh. And even back then they said, we've got to rely less on foreign oil. We've got to have our own. And here it is 34 years later, and no one's done a damn thing.
Well, you can't do anything, Michael. I can't do anything, but our leaders are the ones who can do these things. Clearly, our leaders choose not to do it. What about the last four or five presidents who, by design, decided to keep our borders open? What about that?
It's so crazy because...
It's crazy.
You know, Republican, Democrat, none of them are doing what we need to have happen.
Yes. Anyhow, you answered the
hooray. Well,
hooray for you.
let's
you.
See.
I'm glad to know that we all care. I mean, we've got to pay attention to this.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
Patricia, you deserve a prize for being the first to answer Kay's question correctly.
Well, I couldn't stand
Now,
up.
You come down to Santa Cruz. You come down to the radio station during the week and say that you're Patricia in Santa Cruz,
okay,
and that you're here to claim your prize, and they'll say, what prize? They say, the prize that MZ set. You can choose anything you want here.
My goodness.
Including the transmitter.
No. I don't want to run the radio station, and I'm glad that it's
Oh, shucks.
After
even that
January
didn't work.
1st, and that you're still on the air because I...
Yeah, when I said I was out of here, all I meant was that I ain't writing any more checks to the radio station to keep it going. And guess what? I don't think we... so far, it doesn't look like we need to, but maybe that's because... it's because we have an election coming up, and there's, at least in the past, we always do better when there's an election because there's all this political money that's flowing into talk radio, right?
Fascinating.
And sometimes we don't get very much at all. But we always get some. Sometimes it just pours in. It's just, you know, I hope that's what it'll be. But it's only going to be for the next 2 or 3 weeks because what is it, February 8th? That's our, that's the election, the primary?
Right.
We'll see. Anyhow, Okay. Thanks very much for calling. That opens up a line at 479-1080. I'm doing my YouTube. So I'm going to do my YouTube search here, but let's go to our next caller, Daniel in Watsonville. Welcome to the Saturday special with KNMZ.
Thank you. I'm glad that Kay is back.
Thank you.
I thought it rather interesting that the supposed arch-conservative, Fred Thompson, his campaign slogan is security, prosperity, unity. Sounds an awful lot like the North American Union to me.
Yes, it does.
That concerns me. Mm-hmm. I'm a Ron Paul man myself, so.
Oh, you are?
Absolutely.
So tell my mother, do you think that he ever said anything about 9/11 being an inside job?
Why would I manufacture something like that, Michael?
I can't say I recall it exactly, but, I mean, I'm suspicious. I mean, I look at Pearl Harbor. I mean, I think there were... Well, I mean, inside job. I don't think our government went out of its way to try to prevent that, and I think that could be very well the situation with 9/11, that they may have known some stuff and just didn't try too hard to stop it.
That's one way of saying it, but the way Ron Paul said it is that the government actually arranged for this to happen. Now, what kind of a human being would take his... all the soldiers in his country and deliberately put them in harm's way like that. Does that make any sense?
You're saying that was in the first debate that he said that?
Yes, it was in the introduction.
Okay, I will review that.
That was the first thing he said, was that maybe it was Building 7. I don't remember.
Here we go. I think I've got it here. Daniel, are you done?
Yeah, that'll do it.
Okay, thank you. And let's go to Chris in Aptos. I want to go through all the people who've been waiting here, and then I'll play this YouTube thing. Chris in Aptos, you're on the air.
Yes, hi there. I realize that Kay has the winner, but I do have a response to her inquiry. But I would like to respond or just make a comment about Mr. Paul. He lost me during the last debate when he said that those five speedboats in the Strait of Hormuz did not look menacing, and right away I thought that it was a dinghy that actually hit the USS Cole. And that's when I dismissed him as being not in touch with reality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I had admired his views and being out there and not going with the consensus. But that just told me he doesn't have a tight grip on his back.
Mm-hmm.
Kay, I have a concern regarding the election. And my concern is that, by and large, we are getting our information about the positions of the candidates in 30-to-2-minute increments. And I don't think there's enough opportunity there for the American people to hear substantive and in-depth answers that really portray candidates' heart and soul position rather than a soundbite. And
I agree.
It's concerning to me. You can do your own research, of course, but their positions are marketed in the same way a new toothpaste is, and it is not enough information to choose a leader.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in the intelligence of the American people. And I think if they had all the information, they would look at their candidates a little differently.
Yeah, and along those lines, you have to say something good about Fred Thompson when he refused to answer the person's question by raising his hand.
Exactly.
And I'm not going to do that. Either give me a minute to state my position or forget it. Good
for him. It's a tremendous disservice.
Mm-hmm.
You do not pick a president based on how he raises his hand in regard to
you bet.
Sentence. And,
yeah.
And I don't know where the fault lies. It seems that the media and financing and money and being able to air things and have commercials come in and pay for things set up this dynamic. But if the candidates perhaps took more of a stance like Mr. Thompson and said, we need 5 minutes to answer a question.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think when it gets down to two, the last two, for the nominee from each party, we're going to get the same thing. Even with just, and at one point, yes, there have been like 8 people on the stage. But even when it gets down to 2, they will have 2-minute response in 30 seconds. I mean, 2-minute opportunity in 30 seconds.
Response. I agree
it's
with.
It's just not enough.
I agree with what you said about the media. The media is going to do everything in their power to elect, sort of, whoever's going to be our president. They're choosing to say what they think they want us to hear instead of just telling us what the facts are.
Well, that's another angle, and that would put intent on what's happening, other than, really, I think the overall driving force is financial.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have to get the commercials in there, and they, you know, it's like a sitcom. There's one joke, and then you go to commercials. There's one response, and then you go to commercials. It's, so where is there a point at which maybe we can have some government financing? Not, and I'm not, you know, a spending person, to say we're going to take a block of television time without commercials and present the candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And not that the candidates can't contribute to that as well. I'm not sure where the money is going to come from, but at some point we have to take the commercialism out of presenting some important information that really is going to influence our country for generations.
Chris, thanks very much for your call to the Saturday special. We're going to move on to Kay in Watsonville. Kay, welcome to the K-S-E-O Saturday special with Kay and MZ.
Well, good morning. Mm-hmm. I just the other evening became involved in a conversation regarding the North American Union, and was obviously have heard it mentioned before, but like many other people, just maybe didn't have access to more information, or, you know, wondering, oh, what's this all about? But I have something here that I'm just wondering. I have a pamphlet that was printed out, and well, rather than it's brief, I could read it, but do you want me to do that, or just tell you what it says?
Just boil it
actually
down.
Actually, what there what the two of the main points was that they say the construction on the superhighway that's encompassing 169 has already begun in 2 states, and it will run from central Mexico through the middle of the United States, through Kansas City, and up into Canada. It will be 4 football fields wide, off limits to most Americans, and run by foreign companies. And the other company, to get a comment, I'm sorry, to get directly to the point, was they say in regards to new money, in fact, that it's already being printed. And I know there's such things as, you know, propaganda going overboard. But they're actually saying that they feel that U.S. sovereignty, probably this will all be happening and taking place by the year 2010. And I found that really
pretty scary, isn't
pretty scary. I found it quite interesting. And then, I don't know, just during the conversation, I thought, my God, this is just, it's insanity. The more you listen to it, it's unbelievable. And I just wondered, are you aware of this information?
Yes, I am. I'm aware of this information. And what you mentioned about other foreign countries are going to have the right to buy portions of this highway and use tolls that they will be benefiting from. Can you imagine?
And also, I understand this is all going to be so private that American citizens, that highway will not be for us. It will be strictly limited.
On our property.
Yes, yes.
And we had nothing to say about it.
I mean, that's just such a giant takeover. I can't imagine. And it seems like... I don't know. It's terrifying to think that this is in fact slowly sliding into place. I don't know about.
And
it looks like slowly but surely.
And this union, the North American Union, is the decisions they make are going to supersede our own sovereign decisions.
How do you know that?
Because this is what I'm reading about, and so is everybody else who's concerned.
Exactly.
And
okay.
and our own president is very much involved in this.
Well, you know what? Actions speak louder than words. And the very fact that he and prior presidents also didn't try to tighten up on immigration. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look straight at it, your answer is, but why? Of course, it's a huge problem. It isn't done overnight. But why was something not done way back when?
Because it was a grand plan?
I think it was a grand plan.
That's what I feel.
And that involves Republicans and Democrats.
Right.
Even our wonderful Ronald Reagan was involved in keeping the borders open. Why would our last four or five presidents choose to leave the borders open?
Because they're run by the corporations. I mean, the presidents are put there by the corporations. And that's one thing all of us agree about, that the corporations, the big corporate interests are evil.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about big money and pure greed, and it's like people are just becoming, you know.
We're losing our country.
Okay. Kay, thank you very much for your call. Okay. That opens up a line at 479-1080. Want to hear from all of you. Our next caller is Kenny in Watsonville about Wrong Paul. Did you say that, Kenny, or did...
No, I did not.
Oh, okay.
But I might have been misunderstood. It's happened before.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, Dave likes to have fun when he screens calls. He likes to put things up on the screen that... Well, anyhow, go ahead. You're on the air.
There are a lot of things that I agree with that Ron Paul says.
Did you send me an email, by the way, earlier in the week about illegal immigration, a cartoon or something like that?
I've sent you countless emails.
Someone sent me within the last week something really great in the email that I've been meaning to use on the air.
Uh-huh.
And I'll be damned if I can find it. It's like the Twilight Zone.
What did it say?
It was something about... Now, let me get this straight. Suppose someone were to come into your house and say, I'm taking over your house, and they expect you to step aside. And, you know, this is something that nobody in the world would do, but that's exactly what we're doing. That's exactly what Mexico... You know,
still have that.
It was just within the last week or so.
Yeah, I might still have that. That came across me.
And I wasn't sure whether it was you or someone else that sent that. But I have spent an hour looking for that email.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I really, because it's so good. And if it wasn't you who sent it to me, it was just a great little thing that I could read the whole thing in like 3 minutes here. And
I know which one you're talking about. I know I've read that. I just don't remember. I send so many people emails, I can't remember who I sent what to.
Yeah.
But I did want to say about Ron Paul, I prefaced it with I do agree with him on Second Amendment issues. I agree with him on that. He opposes the eminent domain. He's strongly, strongly pro-life. He's made some of the best pro-life statements. And as an obstetrician, you know, that's a powerful thing.
Yes.
I favor his education tax credits and all that, even for people who do independent study at home and all that. But where I part company and where I don't think he'll make a good president, I think he'd make a great senator, but and he's a good congressman, but I don't think he'd make a good president, because to me, if you listen to his rhetoric, he's what I would call a classic isolationist, just the same way as the folks were just prior to World War II. And yes, we have entangling alliances, but some of them are necessary. I mean, in my view,
I agree with you.
Israel.
Oh, and he doesn't support Israel, you know, and there's some things that we've done wrong, of course, but we've done a lot of things right internationally. And we've done things that are very necessary internationally. And I think the lady that pointed out where Ron Paul lost her on the boat thing, that's really indicative of my feeling, too, because he doesn't quite get it. As smart as he is, and he's a great legislator, and he's done some really good voting. And I'm a constitutionalist as well, but I do differ with him on, you know, what's right and proper on certain issues. But that's, you know, fair game. But as far as being a president, a man who doesn't support Israel, a man who's, you know, wants to pull away from all what he calls entangling alliances, which I don't think always are. We sometimes just have alliances that I would call necessary alliances.
Mm-hmm.
I part company, and I don't think that he would be a good commander in chief. And that's why I would not support him as a president, but I would support him as a senator.
Very good.
Something
very
like
well
that.
Said. He's not realistic.
Not in those ways.
He can say so many things that make sense, and then he'll pop up with something that is not realistic.
Okay. Kenny, thank you very much for your call to
the
Saturday special. As all, and see if you can find that email. That'd be great. Kenny in La Selva Beach, you want to talk about electronic voting Mac?
I wanted to just point out that, and I, having worked in accounting for years and years, just getting a paper trail is not going to solve this problem because it is child's play for even a journeyman programmer to have the screen show something, have your paper ballot show the same thing, have you look up your own vote on the computer later to verify it and have it say what you said, and have it counted as something completely different. I mean, you can put that, you can do an endless variety of permutations on that little vote. So I think what they're planning to do is they will give us the paper trail, and that will lull a lot of people back to sleep.
What do you suggest?
The New York system, and I think it's called the manual lever. What is the exact name of that? I can't remember, but it's all they use in the state of New York, and it works perfect. So there are systems out there that have been tried and proved. I mean, and then the second thing I wanted to point out is in terms of the candidates. As far as I have been able to tell so far, Ron Paul is the only one who is for the U.S. to remain a sovereign state as opposed to being a globalist.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm wrong on that, I'd sure like to know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Penny, thank you very much for calling, and thanks for waiting. That opens up a line at 479-1080 to 13 minutes before 11 a.m., hour number one of the KSCO Saturday special. We have Billy, Connie, Jack, and Jesse. Stay on the line here. Actually, it's time to do a commercial break, right? So let's do that. We'll take this commercial break, and then we'll be back, and we'll take all of your calls, okay? So stay with us.
Are you thinking about a remodel or new kitchen, entryway, or bathroom? If the answer is yes, then you need to go to Santa Cruz Tile and Stone, located at 1800 Soquel Avenue, number 2 in Santa Cruz. You'll find full and prefabricated slabs in granite, marble, limestone, and travertine at great prices. Let Santa Cruz Tile and Stone have the opportunity to meet your needs. At Santa Cruz Tile and Stone, you'll find one of the largest display and showrooms for tile and stone in the area. Come in and check out the displays, and let the expert staff at Santa Cruz Tile and Stone work with you to design your remodel or new construction project. Santa Cruz Tile and Stone is open Monday through Friday from 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Don't forget to bring the kids, as Santa Cruz Tile and Stone is kid-friendly with a kids' play area to keep them entertained while you shop. Santa Cruz Tile and Stone, located at 1800 Soquel Avenue, unit number 2 in Santa Cruz. Phone 421-0292. That's 421-0292. Santa Cruz Tile and Stone. The following is an important message from Pacific Gas and Electric Company. Recent severe winter storms in northern and central California caused significant and lengthy outages throughout our service area. At PG&E, we realize these outages may have seriously impacted you. And for this reason, our dedicated employees have been working day and night to restore power to approximately 2 million of our customers. The safety of our customers and our crews is a top priority. Power will be restored to all customers as it is safe to do so. If you're still experiencing outages, please avoid downed power lines and contact PG&E by calling our outage information hotline at 1-800-PGE-5002 or by visiting our website at pge.com for more information. We'd like to thank our hardworking crews for their unwavering commitment, and we thank you for your considerable patience and understanding during this trying time.
When I was 10 years old, I fell out of a tree, broke my back, and suffered through 10 years of pain and prescription drugs. Then I discovered chiropractic. Hello, I'm Dr. Duncan McCollum, chiropractor.
I'm Darlene, and I've been coming to Dr. McCullough for several years because I was having kind of chronic lower back problems. And I enjoy gardening and hiking, and I really think my spine has been straightening little by little and getting healthier. I try to come in every week, and that allows me to lead the lifestyle I want. I actually feel now that I have more energy, stamina than I did in my 50s. I'm 65. I feel better when I come to Dr. McCullough, and then that's why I'm going to continue to come.
Chiropractic can help you, too. Be one of the first 10 callers and receive a free consultation and examination. I am Dr. Duncan McCollum of McCollum Family Chiropractic, and I want to help you. Call 459-9990. That's 459-9990.
Hi, this is Steve Thomas from Capitola Freight and Salvage and Marvin Gardens. We're open from 10 to 4 this time of year, 7 days a week. We specialize in new and used building materials, pottery, and ceramics from San Francisco and Italy. We've got lots of wrought iron, ornate, solid iron fencing with gates, custom-made tile, and building materials, new and used of all types.
Gretchen?
Did you know you can haggle?
I did know that, yes.
And what are you looking for today?
A farm sink.
And did you find one?
I did.
He's got lots here.
I know, he has a lot.
Are you conscious about being green and using those items in your home?
I am, mostly.
And would you come back again?
Oh, you bet, yes.
Do you recommend it?
I do recommend it.
Strongly?
Very much so.
Thank you.
The phone number is 465-6990. Remember, that's Capitola Freight and Salvage and Marvin Gardens, 1575 38th Avenue, right behind Orchard Supply.
And visit CapitolaFreight.com.
Oh, yeah, that, I'm sorry. You gave me the cue and I missed it. Oh, geez. Thank you, Dave. Welcome back to the closing minutes of the first hour of the KSCO Saturday special.
Congressman Paul, you voted against the war. Why are all your fellow Republicans up here wrong?
That's a very good question, and you might ask the question, why are 70% of the American people now wanting us out of there, and why did the Republicans do so poorly last year? So I would suggest that we should look at foreign policy. I'm suggesting very strongly that we should have a foreign policy of non-intervention, the traditional American foreign policy and a Republican foreign policy. Throughout the 20th century, the Republican Party benefited from a non-interventionist foreign policy. Think of how Eisenhower came in to stop the Korean War. Think of how Nixon was elected to stop the mess in Vietnam. How did we win the election in the year 2000? We talked about a humble foreign policy, no nation building, don't police the world. That is a conservative, it's a Republican, it's a pro-American, it follows the founding fathers, and besides, it follows the Constitution. I tried very hard to solve this problem before we went to war by saying, declare war if you want to go to war. Go to war, fight it, and win it. But don't get into it for political reasons or to enforce UN resolutions or pretend the Iraqis were a national threat to us.
That's time. Let me ask you a question regarding immigration. One of our prize guests here today, Governor Schwarzenegger. Looking this man in the eye, answer this question. I'm going to go down the line, starting with Governor Romney. Should we change our Constitution, which we believe is divinely inspired, to allow men like...
You know what? I'm just going to let this thing run at 6 minutes and 54 seconds. When I see Ron Paul come up again...
Because I am a strong supporter of the original intent.
Oh, God. Okay, Congressman Paul, Pete from Rochester Hills, Michigan, wants to ask you this. If you were president, would you work to phase out the IRS?
Immediately.
That's what they call a softball.
And you can only do that if you...
What's the matter, Ma?
Michael.
I'm looking to find it. I know it's here somewhere. What is it that's bothering you?
The only place it is at the very beginning of that introduction of all the candidates. The first time Ron Paul opened his mouth, the few sentences that he mentioned, that's where the answer is.
Okay.
Not here.
Well, all right, I'm going to let it play. This is, but you know what? We'll
moral leadership kind of role of conservatism with the very libertarian strain of conservatism, the Barry Goldwater conservatism that you represent. How do you put together what he just said with what you believe in a unified national purpose?
Well, you do it by an understanding what the goal of government ought to be. If the goal of government is to be the policeman of the world, you lose liberty. And if the goal is to promote liberty, you can unify all segments. The freedom message brings us together. It doesn't divide us. I believe that when we overdo our military aggressiveness, what it does, it actually weakens our national defense. I mean, we stood up to the Soviets. They had 40,000 nuclear weapons. Now we're fretting day in and day night about third world countries that have no army, navy, or air force, and we're getting ready to go to war. But the principle, the moral principle, is that of defending liberty and minimizing the scope of government. And
I'm sorry, we have to go on. Congressman Paul, Bob Hussey from Minnesota writes that perhaps the most important skill a good president must have is the ability to make good, sound decisions, often in a crisis situation. Please cite an example when you had to make a decision in crisis.
I wonder if he's referring to a political decision like running for office or something like that. I guess in medicine, I made a lot of critical decisions. I mean, you're called upon all the time to make critical life-saving decisions. But I can't think of any one particular event where I made a critical decision that affected a lot of other people. But I think all our decisions we make in politics are critical. My major decision, political decision, which was a constitutional decision, was to urge
Paul,
for 5 years that this country not go to war in Iraq.
We have to go down the line again. It's always fun to ask these questions down the line. We have Mrs. Reagan here. The camera will not focus on her, but I'm going to tell you, it will now focus on you. Mrs. Reagan wants to expand federal funding of embryonic stem cell research. Will that progress under your administration? Dr. Paul, yes or no on federal funding?
Programs are like this are not authorized under the Constitution. The trouble with this, issues like this, is in Washington, we either prohibit it or subsidize it. And the market should deal with it, and the state should deal with it.
Okay. That's a no. Okay, let's start with an enjoyable down the line, okay?
Here,
I want each candidate to mention a tax he'd like to cut in addition to the Bush tax cuts, keeping them in effect.
Well, in my first week, I already got rid of the income tax. So my second week, I would get rid of the inflation tax. It's a tax that nobody talks about.
It's
we live
over.
Way beyond our means with a foreign
over.
Policy
Stand
we can't
by.
Afford and an entitlement system that we have encouraged. We print money for it. The value of the money goes down, and poor people pay higher prices. That is a tax. It's a transfer of wealth from the poor and the middle class to Wall Street. Wall Street's doing quite well, but the inflation tax is eating away at the middle class of this country. We need to get rid of the inflation tax with sound money.
Congressman Paul, Kerry from Connecticut asks, do you trust the mainstream media?
Some of them. But I trust the internet a lot more. And I trust the freedom of expression, and that's why we should never interfere with the internet. That's why I have never voted to regulate the internet, even when there's the temptation to put bad things on the internet. Regulation of bad and good on the internet should be done differently. But no, there's every reason to believe that we have enough freedom in this country to have freedom of expression, and that's what is important. And whether or not we trust the mainstream or not, I think you pick and choose. There's some friends so and some smart. Aren't so friendly.
Thank you, Doctor. It's time. Would it be good for America to have Bill Clinton back living in the White House?
I am known for sticking to principle and not flip-flopping. I voted to impeach him, so hardly do I want him back in the White House.
How will you be different in any way from President George W. Bush?
I certainly would continue on my earlier theme that foreign policy needs to be changed. Mr. Republican Robert Taft, we have a statute of him in Washington. He advocated the same foreign policy that I advocate. I would work very hard to protect the privacy of American citizens, being very, very cautious about warrantless searches, and I would guarantee that I would never abuse habeas corpus.
Well, you were right, Ma. It's not on that one, but we're going to find it. We are going to find it. We've only got 1 minute left in this hour. We want to apologize. Well, here, let's go ahead and take our next caller here. Billy, Billy Sunshine, you're on the air.
Hello?
Okay, well, there goes Billy. Connie and Aptos, you're on the air on KSCO.
Oh, Connie?
Yeah, Connie, you're on.
Okay. One of the things I find when I listen to Ron Paul is it's doom and gloom. I'm sure the liberals love him because he's spouting everything he thinks is wrong with everything, but he doesn't really come up with solutions. And the only way, if he's a dictator, perhaps he can get some of those enforced. But what I'd like to have people do is kind of look at somebody who is a grown-up, who has business sense, doesn't talk political all the time. What's wrong with
Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney.
Okay.
Yeah, I love him.
Great.
Anyway.
Hey, thanks very much. We'll hold you over into the next hour if you want, okay? But we got to go now because
yeah,
it's 11
hold
o'clock.
Me over. Thank
okay,
you.
Stand by. I will put you on hold. This is KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 11 a.m. We'll be back in 6 minutes.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Stanley. President Bush hopscotching the Persian Gulf, slinging a sword in Bahrain, earlier talking with troops in Kuwait, and getting a status report.
Before greeting the troops at Kuwait's Camp Arifjan,
hooah! Yeah, thanks for coming out.
The president met with General David Petraeus and Ambassador Rand Crocker, later saying, for now, there will be no change in planned U.S. troop levels in Iraq. That means the 30,000 troops scheduled to come home by summer will keep to that schedule. Petraeus told reporters right now he has no idea what he might recommend when he gives the next progress report to Congress in March. With the president in Bahrain, Rich Johnson, Fox News Radio.
In Iraq, the parliament has passed a benchmark law that's going to allow lower-ranking members of Saddam Hussein's Ba'ath Party to re-enter the government. When the first U.S. layer of bureaucracy ran Iraq after the initial toppling of Saddam Hussein's rule, L. Paul Bremer outlawed the Ba'ath Party, and the effect was to have many senior bureaucrats who knew how to run the government ministries and state companies fired. Well, that kept the new government in some disarray, and now today's action will reverse that to some degree, and President Bush is hailing the legislative move as a, quote, important step toward reconciliation. Police in Mason, Ohio, northeast of Cincinnati, say 34-year-old Michael Vallette is responsible for the carnage in his home.
He has been charged with one count of murder, four counts of aggravated murder, and the deaths of his wife and four children, and is also charged with one count of aggravated arson.
Mason Police Officer Craig Klein, who says Vallette will be charged as soon as he regains consciousness following surgery. He had stab wounds, just as his dead wife did, unclear how he got them, and he was critically injured jumping from the second floor of his burning home. New polls show that concerns over the U.S. economy are beginning to weigh heavily on the public. Respondents are indicating that economic concerns are right up there now with the Iraq war. You're listening to Fox News Radio. Fair and balanced.
This is Fox News Talk.
Fox and Friends Encore.
Things
nice
I overheard while talking to myself, Alan Alda. The book is terrific. And in addition to the stories where you talk about your daughter graduating and speaking in front of medical schools and stuff like that, you talk about celebrity towards the very end. And it is terrific.
You know, it's really a weird thing to go through. For so many decades, I've watched what it's like to be on both sides of celebrity.
Yeah.
It's a very strange thing, and it permeates our culture.
Sure.
We get things sold to us on the basis of celebrity. It's a part of politics now, and it's so interesting to see what really happens. You know, it's so common for people to come up to me and say to me,
right,
"You're my biggest fan." we get all bollocked up when we talk to somebody who's famous to us.
Right. And actually, we're going to auction off this couch after you leave.
That's all.
Don't miss Fox and Friends weekday mornings on the Fox News Channel.
O.J. Simpson will be cooling his heels in Nevada's Clark County Jail until at least next Wednesday. It has to do with something he did in connection with his upcoming trial in that sports memorabilia robbery.
O.J. Simpson contacted his bail bondsman and asked him to leave a message for one of the co-defendants, saying that he was very displeased with some of the testimony that was given at that preliminary hearing. And that is why the court has found him to be in violation of that release. And that's why he was brought back here to Vegas. And he is behind bars at this hour.
Fox's Casey Stiegel in Las Vegas. The U.S. has been walking a diplomatic tightrope between China and breakaway Taiwan for decades. Now Taiwan's government may soon grease the wheels for better relations and ease the tensions the U.S. has had to deal with.
Taiwan's opposition Nationalist Party winning big in legislative elections, boosting the Kuomintang Party's bid to retake the presidency in March. The KMT, which wants closer ties with China, picking up 81 seats or 72% in the parliament, while the ruling Democratic Progressive Party picked up just 27 seats. The results, a clear humiliation. nomination for President Chen Shui-bian, who's now announced he's resigning as DPP chairman. Lillian Wu, Fox News Radio.
Well, there was Ray Kroc with McDonald's, and there was Carl Karcher with Carl's Jr., and now that fast food pioneer has passed away.
Carl N. Karcher turned a $325 investment in a hot dog cart in 1941 into one of the biggest hamburger chains in the West. He established the first Carl's Jr. restaurant in 1956. Today, there are more than 1,000 Carl's Jr. locations across the West, now owned by CKE. The father of 12, Karcher suffered from Parkinson's disease and died Friday night at a hospital in Fullerton, California, where he was being treated for pneumonia. Karcher was 90 years old.
Fox's Mary Regal. More Hollywood negotiations underway today, but now it's the Directors Guild in talks with the Producers Alliance. I'm Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It's Saturday, January 12, 2008, and today's forecast calls for decreasing clouds later in the day. Highs should be around 65 degrees with winds light and variable. Tonight, you can expect mainly clear skies with lows around 41 degrees. And tomorrow, you can expect mainly sunny conditions with highs reaching around 65 degrees. Today's Monterey Bay Boaters forecast, east winds 5 knots, becoming west in the afternoon. Wind waves 1 foot or less, along with the west swell 8 to 13 feet at 16 seconds. Outside KSCO Studios, it's 53 degrees. The time is now 11:06. And it's time for hour number two of the Saturday special with your host, MZ, right here on AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz.
Because we were attacking Iraq. I don't think I've ever heard that before. And I've heard some pretty absurd explanations for September 11th. As someone who lived through the attack of September 11th, that we invited the attack because we were attacking Iraq. I don't think I've ever heard that before, and I've heard some pretty absurd explanations for September 11th.
Are we on the air?
We are on the air.
Oh, how long have we been on the air?
We've been on for about 45 seconds.
Oh, so did you hear that part?
We heard the tail end of that, yeah.
Okay, you know what? I'm having a respectful argument with my mother. And I found the exact thing that we're talking about now. Okay, so I'm going to play. I didn't realize we were on the air. What's the matter, Ma?
Nothing.
Okay. What's the matter?
Nothing's the matter. I think you have the wrong segment.
I have found the segment on YouTube that I've been looking for. Okay,
well,
and this is what made me lose all respect for Giuliani.
Okay.
Yeah. Because he ridiculed Ron Paul, whom I thought I liked up until I didn't know.
Okay.
Just a minute. I'm going to explain what's the matter.
And then let me explain.
Absolutely.
Also.
You
okay.
explain too.
Before,
but here, now we're gonna play this.
Don't
thing,
play
right?
it yet.
Don't
Michael.
Play it yet.
No, I never knew who Ron Paul was, and the first time that there was this meeting of all the Republican candidates.
Yeah.
Ron Paul was way over to the left on the stage, and that was the first time that he was introduced. And one of his very first sentences was that he thought that the government was involved in making this thing happen in Iraq. And that was when...
You mean on 9/11?
Yes, and that was when Giuliani scolded him.
Okay, now
and
I'm gonna,
maybe he did it again.
No, Giuliani only scolded him once.
Okay,
but here it is.
All right.
Okay.
Say here, if China was doing this in our country or in the
Just
Gulf of Mexico,
to this for a little bit.
We would be objecting. We need to look at what we do from the perspective of what would happen if somebody else did it to us.
Are you suggesting we invited the 9/11 attack, sir?
I'm suggesting that we listen to the people who attacked us and the reason they did it. And they are delighted that we're over there because Osama bin Laden has said, I am glad you're over on our sand because we can target you so much easier. They have already now, since that time, have killed 3,400 of our men, and I don't think it was necessary.
Wendell, may I make a comment on that? That's really an extraordinary statement. That's an extraordinary statement of someone who lived through the attack of September 11th. That we invited the attack because we were attacking Iraq. I don't think I've ever heard that before,
and I've heard some pretty absurd explanations for September 11th.
Wait a minute. I might have to apologize. Just a second. I have to hear that. I have to hear that one more time here. Okay?
Someone who lived through the attack is...
of our men, and I don't think it was necessary.
Wendell, may I make a comment on that?
Wait a minute.
We listened to the people who attacked us and the reason they did it. And they are delighted that we're over there because Osama bin Laden has said, I am glad you're over on our sand because we can target you so much easier. They've already now, since that time, have killed 3,400 of our men, and I don't think it was necessary.
Wendell, may I make a comment on that?
That's really an extraordinary statement. It's an extraordinary statement of someone who lived through the attack of September 11, that we invited the attack because we were attacking Iraq. I don't think I've ever heard that before, and I've heard some pretty absurd explanations for September 11.
Well, that's what I was... This is the piece that I was thinking of, and I guess I thought I heard him say something else. I thought he was chiding Ron Paul for suggesting that 9/11 was an inside job. And that is not what he said. He was chiding Ron Paul for saying that we're the reason that that they attacked us.
Well, okay? that's the same thing, isn't it?
Well,
but I don't think that's...
You and I are having an ongoing argument about whether Ron Paul is one of the nutcases, as you would use the term, who thinks that term,
okay. Michael. That was the one thing I considered that he's not credible.
You dismiss anybody who thinks. You correct me. Go ahead and correct me. The mic is live. If I'm saying something that's incorrect. There are people that I know that you have great respect for, and as soon as they suggest the possibility that 9/11 was an inside job, that was something that was done, that is so painful and so ridiculous sounding to you that person, that whoever says that, that they're even
credible.
Is no longer credible in your eyes. Am I correct?
Yes, you are.
I know of several such people whom you know.
That's true.
Who you have no regard for at all now.
Yeah. Anybody who thinks that our president engineered this war on his own and put our soldiers in harm's way.
I'm talking about 9/11, the attack on 9/11, that he knew about it. Anybody who thinks, who's willing to even consider that could be true, is a nutcase in your eyes.
Yeah.
Am I right?
I think that...
A partial nutcase?
Not credible, let's say. Not credible.
All right.
Okay?
Yeah. Fine. All right, Jack and Capitola, thanks for waiting so long. You're on
Hey, yeah, whose radio station is it after all? Mine or yours, you know what I mean?
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding you. You guys are cute. I gotta admit, it reminds me of when my mom was alive a lot of the time. No insult intended there at all.
Okay, you're on. What are you calling for?
I'm calling about the illegal immigration into the United States, which I guess amounts at this point to an invasion, a quiet invasion, and how it is that, you know, like people who, I consider myself a liberal, okay, but yet I can't get over the fact that a lot of my fellow liberals who are affluent think that this is some display of, I don't know what they're trying to do, but it's undermining the whole bargaining power of the workers in the United States. You know what I mean? Not the professional people, not the people who are in the service of the ownership class, but of the guys down there, you know, the ordinary plumber, the guy who has a little business, you know what I mean? Like a yard business or whatever, it undermines their position. You know, it undermines their economy. And it's not fair to them because some of those people, you know, have built this country, their families, they've been in wars, you know what I mean? And, well, it's just my complaint, I think. I think this is an extreme threat to the United States, unbelievably threatening, and that Mexico is not a poor country. There's more billionaires in Mexico than any other country on earth. The difference is what they have done with what they have. And if a vast majority of the United States becomes Mexico ethnically, it will also be Mexico in almost every other way. And I don't really want that, personally.
I don't either.
I guess I had you gave me my chance for my 2 cents, and I thank you.
Thanks for waiting. Okay, I believe we had told Connie that she would be up next if we hold. So forgive me for not going right back to you. Connie, you're on now.
All right, as long as I can get back to the same subject. Kay, it's wonderful to have you back.
Thank you.
I couldn't agree more with you on what you say. When people start talking about good things about Ron Paul or some of the others, I kind of look at him from then on. I don't pay any attention to him. But I think you're right. I do remember hearing, I think it's on the Internet, a lot of the things that Ron Paul or his followers.
Well, Dave Michaels has written something on the screen here. It says, "Hey, Z, I've got audio of Ron Paul's response to whether or not we invited the attacks on 9/11. Was that the
that's
one?
That's the same audio that you just played.
Oh, okay, all right. So,
No, I heard on the Internet more than anything. I think Kay is almost right about everything. Everything I've ever heard that she speaks, it's from the heart, and I believe it. And
okay.
I think there are several of us that are more conservatives that look out for the country. And I do believe when election time comes, people will quit looking at the candidate saying, oh, what a wonderful personality he has. What a good jokester. How well he looks dressed up. I think we're going to look at the essence of the man. I think America always comes out with the right president at the right time in history. And I think we'll continue
like
to do
Bill
that.
Like Bill Clinton?
There are exceptions to some rules. I must say Bill Clinton looked pretty good at the time.
He still looks great. If he were running today, he'd be elected hands down.
Well, I'm sure.
And that's the reason his wife will probably be elected. Is not because she's so charismatic, because she's not. She's about as charismatic as a dirty rug, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, MZ,
but he
I
does
think...
she does have his anointment.
No, I
don't think you're overdoing that.
I hope I'm wrong. MZ, I hope I'm wrong.
I don't believe that for 1 minute.
Good.
I don't think Hillary has a chance of getting.
I
elected.
Hope you're right and I'm wrong.
It
I really
will be
do.
The Republican.
I have to say something about that. I think that if Hillary and Bill run our country for another 4 or 8 years, I will feel like our country is being run by gangsters.
Socialists.
Gangsters.
Yes, gangsters too. I couldn't agree more, and I do believe the country feels that way. Unfortunately, Bill didn't have that big an opponent the time he ran, and that's why he won,
mm-hmm.
but not by a huge majority, guys.
He was lucky.
He was very, very lucky.
Lucky, and he was at the right place at the right time.
So let's get a good businessman in there, somebody who's going to run the country
mm-hmm.
and stand up for what we're trying to
well,
do.
Well, Connie likes
that.
Mitt Romney. Do you, Ma?
I like him.
I like Mitt Romney very much. Pay more attention to him. The press doesn't give him any attention because they know he's a huge threat. I do believe
I
he will be the
you.
Next president of the United States.
Okay. Connie, thanks for calling the KSCO Saturday special.
Thank you. A joy.
Okay. Here's Brian in Santa Cruz about Ron Paul. You're on, Ron. Then we're going to, Brian, then Jesse and Carmel, and then Thor and Monterey. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, hi there. I was on to respond to one of the callers that called in earlier about Ron Paul and how they said that he doesn't have, he's always doom and gloom. And my comment on that is that he's one of the only candidates running that. Yes, there's a lot of problems going on right now, but he actually has a transition plan for a lot of these things, and it's to allow competition with the federal government. For example, with the Social Security problem that's going on right now, he actually wants to allow people to opt out of that. That's just one example, but he has contingency plans and transition plans for all these problems that are huge problems that are going on. The other point that I'd like to make is about the fact that, okay, so he hasn't run like a business, like maybe like a Mitt Romney or something like that, someone like that has. But here's the real issue, is that the President of the United States, we don't need to elect him based on his personality or his, you know, his business experience in another field. What we really need to be concentrating on is whether or not he's going to do the job that he is sworn into office to do, and that is to uphold the Constitution. And there's no other candidate running that would do as good of a job as Ron Paul on that fact.
I thank you for saying that, Brian.
Okay,
appreciate your call. That opens up a line. Oop, at 479-1080. Who's this? Who's on the
this
line?
This is Jesse.
Jesse, thank you. Yeah. Boy, I almost hung up on you. Thanks for, sorry.
All right. So this is the deal. First off, Ron Paul has always, always, always held that he did not believe that our government planned 9/11. He has always said that. He's never deviated from it. It'd be political suicide to say that you believe that 9/11 was an inside job anyway. He does believe, and I wanted to hit, too, this idea of this equating of this Swift speedboat situation in Iran with the situation in Yemen, which is simplistic and silly, because the boat in Yemen was not an official military boat, whereas these Iranian boats were. If the boat in Yemen could bomb the coal without any direct immediate consequences for any particular country, if the Iranian boats attacked our ship, we would immediately go to war with Iran, and quite rightly so. And so they had the protection of that, in a sense, when the Iranian boats were coming up to them. This wasn't just some little, bomb-loaded dinghy or something. These were Iranian military boats. And it's just a completely different situation. And people who try to equate the two situations are the ones who are being naive.
Someone who is whose email address is SF, as in San Francisco, SFKL@AOL.com, has sent me an email. It's a very short email. It's just the subject line, and there's no body of the email. And the subject line says, "Doesn't Ron Paul write for a skinhead publication on a regular basis?" And then the initials or EOM. Now, is this someone throwing the rock and hiding the hand? I guess I did a disservice by even reading this email because it's not signed by a person, huh?
Yeah, I don't know what they even mean by that. You know, I don't know of any skinhead publications in the first place. So Ron Paul is by far the most principled person in the field. Everyone else is, playing things that they think are going to pull well and things like that. And Ron Paul is the one who's coming out with some pretty esoteric stuff. I mean, it takes some courage to mention something as unknown as Austrian economics in a debate. You know, I mean, he's a guy who has actual ideas for how to do things. He's not part of the machine. He's always defied every attempt to expand taxes, to take away our rights and things like that. Nobody else has been such a champion of freedom and such in Congress. Many times he has stood alone saying no to certain bills and going to war and things like that. And for some of you who think that, his foreign policy is naive, I say you have a huge amount of hubris because you think you can actually predict the outcomes of the things you do. Yeah, I mean, you talk about the isolationism he has being compared to World War II. But before World War II. But for one thing, it's non-interventionism, not isolationism, and people need to get that straight. Because he wants to trade and everything, he just doesn't want to go to war for other countries' interests or have entangling alliances. And the thing is that some people can make some pretty good arguments for why we need to go into World War II. But just keep in mind, by going into World War II, we allied our Stalin, who killed more people than Hitler ever did, and strengthened worldwide communism that has killed 100 million people or more over the years. And, so intended consequences, people. And to not have the hubris to think that we can predict what our international actions are going to do is important.
Okay. Jesse, thanks for waiting, and thanks for your calls to the KSCO AM 1080 Saturday special. Jesse from Carmel. Here's Thor in Monterey. Thor, welcome to KSCO.
Good morning, Michael.
Hey.
Kay, good to hear you on the radio.
Thank you.
First off, I want to say I'm pretty embarrassed for the Republican Party, the fact that anyone who says they're a Republican is actually considering and actually voting for John McCain. I just wanted to throw that out there. But what I'm really calling about is
that because of his stance on amnesty?
Yeah, he was really trying to shove that whole, amnesty legislation down our throats and all that. And
what about his position on waterboarding?
Well, yeah, that too. I mean, yeah. You guys had a discussion about waterboarding the other day, mm-hmm. and that is not torture. It's, very uncomfortable treatment, and, we need to have interrogation techniques like that to find out what the these enemy combatants know about and all that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that you have to look at McBain and say
McCain,
and say, is it all right with him that the enemy slices the heads off our soldiers, and he's too timid to. He thinks that it's too much for us to frighten the enemy
right.
with waterboarding.
Yeah.
What kind of strength is that?
I have a lot of other concerns about him as well. But what I really want to talk about is electronic voting.
Oh, good.
Oh, yes.
I'm a computer security professional, work for the government, and been putting a lot of thought into this. And I have what I think is a good solution to improve the situation and eliminate a lot of the concerns people have about electronic votes. The big problem with electronic voting is that if there's no paper trail, if it's just votes in a computer system,
mm-hmm.
I absolutely do not support that at all, because it's so easy to manipulate electronic data that I don't see any way you could have a realistic count. Another thing, too, is if you have a system crash or something like that, all those votes that are recorded are gone.
Right.
My
Absolutely.
Proposal is to have kind of a combination system where you could still have these touchscreen voting machines. We kind of have this a little bit with the Sequoia systems in Monterey. I don't know what you guys are using out there in Santa Cruz County, but what the systems here do is that when you enter your all your votes, and you say you're done, and you push that, it prints out a like on an adding machine tape, it prints out your results.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they're close with that, but what I would do is one step further, is that when you complete your voting entry, it actually would print out a card that's human and machine readable. I mean, it's pretty easy to do that, where you can look at a card that you can read that also a computer can read. So you look at that card, everything is as you want it to be, and then you take and give that to the voting person, the volunteer people, and then they take and put that in the box like you did originally with the previous system we had, where you'd actually punch little holes in the card.
Mm-hmm.
So that way you don't have problems with hanging chads or anything like that, because it's, you can see and print it. The other thing is that when they give you they can tear off little receipts and give those to you, there could be a number on there. This would be like a unique serial number for the set of cards. It has nothing that can be associated with you, but then what you could do, you could take that serial number, you can go onto the internet, either at your house or library if you don't want to have it traced back to you, and you can put that number in, and it would show the record of how that vote was counted.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have a confirmation that your actual voting information was in the system.
Thor, you absolutely must send me an email.
Okay.
Describing that. Would you do that
sure.
today?
Yeah, I could do
because,
that.
Yeah.
And the nice
I'll
thing
get
about
with,
this,
I'll get with Larry, and we'll help Thor get a patent on this.
The nice thing about this is once you have, if there's any concern, like Kucinich is saying in the recent New Hampshire election, he's thinking that there are some maybe miscounts going on there. But you can take those cards, and those can still be taken to a totally independent system that would machine count those cards. And or you could have people look at them, and you can do a hand inspection as well.
Okay, I'm glad you brought up the New Hampshire thing.
Yeah.
I can't help wondering how the fact that Hillary Clinton was losing in New Hampshire,
yes.
and all of a sudden there are a couple of crocodile tears, maybe, and the whole situation turned around.
I was rather surprised, because
yeah.
I thought the fact that she was crying like that, I'm really surprised no one came out and said, Well, you know, Miss Clinton, we understand it's a lot of stress involved with running a campaign, but you want to be president. If you think there's any, you know, stress and things concerned with the election, yeah. Wait till you get in that kind of a
right.
position.
Hey, wait, that's great. That reminds me of Edmund Muskie. Remember that? He thought he would weep. He started weeping one day.
That was the end of him.
And that was the end of him. Everybody says, what's he going to do when he needs to push the button? Start weeping?
Yeah.
So how come that didn't work with Hillary? That,
I thought she'd be down votes because of that. And what's going on
She's got a big, strong organization.
Yes.
And right away, they threw out the issue that women felt sorry because they see that she's human now. And that turned everything around? Not so sure.
It reminds me of, I think it's old saying that, what I think it was Stalin said, it's not who casts the votes, it's who counts them.
Yep.
Wow. Okay, Thor. Hey, don't forget that email, please, okay? Thank you very much.
Sure, thanks.
My gosh, there's only one caller on the line. I think people must think that... people must think that there's that our lines are jammed. They're not, ladies and gentlemen. Our lines are almost empty, except for Steve in SoCal. 479-1080 or mz@ksco.com. If you've been wanting to get in and talk to Kay, the ultimate authority around here. Now the phone lines are jammed. A second ago, they were empty, and now they're jammed. Okay, Steven SoCal, you're on the air.
Is that me?
Yeah, that's you.
Hey, Michael and Kate, it's great listening to you guys. Makes me want to call my mom and thank both of you for all your service and the work you do at 1080. I mean, it's a great example of community radio. I wanted to circle back to the Ron Paul thing. I'm a partisan Republican, conservative, fiscal conservative, social conservative, and I haven't made up my mind, but I'll to be honest, I'm sort of leaning towards Mitt Romney, and I'm a big web guy. So I think Ron Paul is, from an economic perspective, I agree with so many things that he has to say. You know, if you believe in the Constitution, if you're constitutionalist, if you believe in free market economics, You gotta think Ron Paul's philosophy. You can talk about his electability is amazing, and I'm incredibly impressed with what he's been able to do with the only real, fundraising community out there. I mean, clearly he's got a bunch of people that are passionate about him. It's being done as a community and organically phenomenal. Very interesting politically.
He did better than Howard Jarvis. Not Howard Jarvis. Howard, what's his name?
Dean.
Howard Dean.
Yeah. Howard Dean was great before him, but this guy, he did way better.
It makes me feel good, that someone can do that. Now, here's my problem with Ron Paul and why I could never elect this guy, okay? Even though I philosophically, there's much of what he says that I wish other candidates in our party would listen to.
I agree with you there.
The guy has an incredible lack of judgment. He's supposed to be the free world leader. And I'm all for reasonable military and being careful with getting ourselves involved in anything. But we're at war, and that's the judgment he's missed. We are in a war here, declared or not. And this is what he does. This is what his judgment in not seeing that and not understanding the world situation makes him. I'm sorry. I'm not going to use any derogatory. He's foolish. No.
Steve, you're in a lousy cell area. Move. Well, he's gone now.
No, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Oh. Well, once in a while, don't you think he goes to La La Land?
Wandering in and out.
Oh, yeah. Steve, yeah. Oh, geez.
Can you hear me?
No, it's not usable. But thanks. We heard most of what you said.
Right.
Thanks for your call. Here's Billy. Go ahead, Billy.
You're hello, right. Swirlings.
Hey, Billy.
Kay, glad to hear you're well. Stay
Thank
that way.
Thank you.
You know what's amazing is we've been talking about Ron Paul for a couple hours almost, and no one's brought up the fact that he's a racist, he hates blacks and Jews.
How do you know that, Billy? Does he say that?
Why would he say that? He's running
for president. Because he's against Israel.
Well, here's why I say that. He's been putting out a newsletter for a number of years, and in those newsletters, under his name, were written these sorts of sentiments. Hadn't you heard that, Kay?
No.
Oh, well.
Oh, but I know he's not crazy about Israel, so that ties in together,
Or Martin Luther King, or black people in general. He is a racist. You know, you knew he was a flake, I'm sure.
Unrealistic, I would say.
That's a good word. Better word than
And that's
what I
why
use.
I say once in a while he goes into la-la land.
But we don't need to worry about him because the Republicans and Fox particularly will not allow him to be reelected. I don't know if you noticed that when they had the vote the other day was it New Hampshire or one of those, they gave the first four returns. So they gave Huckabee and McCain, but they didn't go below the fourth. Interestingly enough, there was Ron Paul with one percentage point less than the last person they bothered to mention. Also, they had a debate the other day, and they had all the people text in who won the debate. Well, the people said Ron Paul won the debate, and it made Fox crazy. They don't want him. We know they don't report the news fairly. So
you mean
he doesn't have a chance.
You mean Fox News
him.
Doesn't report the news fairly?
Yeah, sure
but ABC and NBC and CBS does?
I'm not sure whether they do or not.
Oh, Billy.
No, all I'm saying is I'm not sure whether they do or not. What I can
you're
say
just
for sure
picking,
is that
Billy,
Fox
you're picking and
not.
Choosing, and you're showing that you are a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat, no matter what. Okay.
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 And
as long as it's okay.
It's okay. Which was a great play, by the way.
Yeah, it is. Okay with K. All right. Hey, thank you, Bill. Nice to hear from you. Here's our next caller, another Bill in Monterey. Hey, Bill, you're on the air on KSCO.
Yeah, hi.
Your favorite radio station, isn't it?
The only one. What do you mean?
Okay, good.
Kay, I think I heard an interview with Ron Paul. It may have been on Leno or Letterman or something. 9/11 came up, and he broached the subject that, well, some people think that the government had something to do with that.
Uh-huh.
And I think that he didn't poo-poo the idea.
Uh-huh.
He didn't say he totally agree with it, but he didn't poo-poo it either. And I think that's where you're getting that from, because I remember the YouTube. It must have been on YouTube because I don't watch TV. But it was another interview, I think, he broached that subject.
Well, I explained to Michael that it was during the first debate that the Republicans had when the moderator interviewed all of them and started with Ron Paul. And the first sentence that he said implied that he thought it was an inside job.
So what I played was not what you you're basing.
No, that's right.
Okay, that's what I'm basing.
I'm talking about.
And one other thing.
Go ahead.
One other thing about Ron Paul. He had passed an earmark for his district for $400 million or something.
For
he
what?
Voted no. He voted no for the bill, but he knew the bill was going to pass. So this guy isn't above the board at all.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Monterey Bill, thanks for your call. Here's Zoya also in Monterey. Then we have Penny and LaSelva. Oh, Teresa in Scotts Valley loves Kay and would like to talk to her. Mark and Salinas refutes Billy's call and John in Prunedale. Okay, but right now it's Zoya's turn. Go ahead, Zoya, you're on KSCO.
Good morning, Kay. I am very happy to hear your voice.
Thank you.
I am old.
You're old like I am.
No, not maybe, but you're better. My English not well, but I want to tell one thing. Last election, when on my address here and one of my neighbor, someone else put their name, and I receive invitation on their name.
Yeah.
When I get to voting place, the same person was registered on my address, and if I would not. I called to Salinas, and it was registered there, too.
Uh-huh.
And my neighbors have the same problem. And I think everyone should check who else on the address in Salinas or some other place.
That's pretty scary.
Our governor tried to make this extra election for the redistricting, I think it's a lot of people twice or three times to get it down.
Wow.
Yes, and this...
Hey, we got to put Thor to work on that one. By the way, Thor, I'm still looking for your email, so don't forget. I know you're busy, but I really want to see that email from you, Thor. And you can comment on Zoya's idea, too, please.
Okay, I have... today, I think it's most important to check.
You're
have other stuff to say, but I will...
Go ahead, go ahead.
No, it's too much for me.
Okay.
Okay, well, thank you.
Okay. Thank you for calling, Zoya.
Yes.
Be well. I won't hear your voice.
Thank you very much.
Bye. Okay, here's Penny and La Selva. Penny, you're on KSCO. Welcome.
Oh, hi. I spoke to you earlier about the electronic voting machine.
Yes.
And I believe that the solution that the gentleman from Carmel, I think it was offered.
Monterey
is the one that's being kind of bandied about. And there, it's true, there are several... it checks and balances on it. But, you know, again, I have to go back to the fact that with even with your card-readable card and you're going to the library to check and you're adding machine tape and you're looking at it on the screen and all of this, it's very easy to pick a voting district or two out of any state and say, well, we got to have a couple of them matched. So when they do the manual check, we're going to come out and say, hey, we checked 1% and it matched just fine. So therefore... the system is working, but the 99% of the other districts could have a completely different result tallied, even with all those checks and balances, which is why no electronic voting system will ever work.
Thor, forget the email. Never mind.
And I mean, if you want to Google,
I'm only kidding. I want Thor's email.
Penny,
are you saying just forget about computers altogether?
Totally. Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, at least you're making a suggestion. Yeah, I appreciate when someone wants to be critical of everything, that's fine as long as they come up with something that they're not critical of.
There are ways to do it. Like, again, look at New York State. Look at what Johns Hopkins University is talking about, University of Colorado. There are ways to do it. It's just that you're not going to hear about it much because it's not a popular idea.
Okay. Thanks very much for your second call here. Here's John in Prunedale. Welcome to KSCO with MZ and K.
Hi, Michael.
Hey.
Hello, Kay.
Hi there.
I'm curious. I was going to the lumberyard when you were doing this Ron Paul thing, and so I happened to be out of the truck when did he actually say or imply something that you've heard or played on the radio that he thought 9/11 was an inside
job?
Yes,
that's how I.
That's
feel.
What Mom heard. Did you hear that with? Did you hear that with what I played today, or did you hear that somewhere else?
I heard part of what you were playing today, but I had to get out of my truck, and so I didn't get
what he said today.
And I missed the bit about Giuliani supposedly making a remark about him after he supposedly said that, which I don't know.
I can play it again.
My another thing I have is why are so? I'm a very conservative. Republican. Now I've just joined the party. Actually, I've been an independent, and he's not my candidate, Ron Paul. But why are so many people afraid of him when the man has so little amount of actual support, and yet there's so much controversy about this person that of things he's supposedly
because he's so
say.
Different. I think everybody is going to be really surprised. At Ron Paul's showing. I'm not saying he's going to be elected president, but I think people are going to be, it's going to blow them away how many votes that he does get.
Michael, I like.
Yeah, I also noticed this.
Hey, John in Prunedale, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, because it's really funny. Every time I talk, you keep talking. So it made me think that for some reason the connection is bad.
I'm sorry.
Okay. So. Yeah, I had you potted down for like 15 seconds, and when I potted you back up, you were still going on and on and on here, so it made me think there's something wrong with our equipment or our connection.
No, probably me.
Okay. You want to finish up real quick, and then we'll...
Yes.
Yeah.
I've noticed that so many callers are almost what I would call conspiracy theorists, and I just can't go along with that. Everything's a conspiracy, so that's all I have to say.
Do you think the Kennedy assassination was a conspiracy? Are you open? Is that one conspiracy even you might be open to?
Possibly. That's probably the only one. Because I have my doubts that Lee Harvey Oswald was. I'm 67, was bright enough to do everything on his own.
All you need to do is visit Dealey Plaza, and you will know there is no way that Lee Harvey Oswald or anybody else acted alone.
So well, I've seen a lot of tapes, and with you know, over
tapes don't mean anything. Tapes don't mean anything. But all you got to do is stand there in Dealey Plaza, and you know right away there's no way what the Warren Commission says is true.
Well,
no way.
I never trusted a lot of what Earl Warren said.
So just because something is a conspiracy, which means that someone thinks that it's not what it appears or how it's been reported, you know, I just wouldn't write off every, you know, dismiss everybody.
I don't write it off, Michael. I think there are lots of things that Ron Paul says that make sense. But then he comes up with something that's very unrealistic.
Right. Okay, John in Prunedale, thanks very much for your call. Mark in Salinas wants to refute Billy's call. You're on the air on KSCO.
Hey, thanks, Michael. I didn't want to call, but I wanted to refute what Billy said, because what he alleged about Ron Paul writing those articles is false. Those newsletters don't have bylines on them, and apparently, and what I've read from a number of sources, is that different staffers, people that worked with him or were contributors, wrote those things. Now, whom they allege wrote a number of those very racist pieces is a fellow by the name of Gary North. And he is a member of a group called Christian Reconstructionists. He's the son-in-law of a guy named R.J. Rush Dooney, who runs the Christian Reconstruction Movement in Vallecito, California, in Calaveras County. And, Michael, this is a group of people that essentially believe in the same type of moral code as the radical Islamicists, as far as stoning to death adulterers and abortionists and so forth. So that's the guy that's written a lot of that stuff. And
that's one of the bad things about the internet here. Anybody can say, anybody can write anything and attribute it to somebody else.
Yeah, and I'm starting to be out of breath. I just come up a couple flights of stairs carrying about 100 pounds of equipment, so I'm a little bit out of breath.
Mark,
right now.
It's very good for your health that you did.
Yeah,
that.
I got to do that more. I need to haul that stuff more.
So
often.
Do I. Maybe I'll come over and help you with the next load.
But the last thing to mention about this, you know, about this whole thing with Ron Paul is that, and a friend of mine's a big supporter of him and has given the maximum amount of money to him that he can. He says, you know, the one thing it tells me about Paul, I know he's not a racist. It's not his words, but he's a lousy manager. That he's that disinterested in what people are doing under his name, and it's a real concern. But you know, I've read what Ron Paul writes. I've read some of these pieces, and the writing style is so different that
I just don't know who's right. But in the interest of equal time here, Salinas, Mark. I just received this email. Stay on the line. I just received this email from Terry Reed, mm-hmm. from Terry in Santa Cruz, who says, Billy Sunshine is right for once in his life. It's a fact that Fox News Channel host Chris Wallace banned Ron Paul from their Republican debate on Sunday night. The New Hampshire GOP then announced their boycott of this event. When it was all over on Tuesday night, Paul had more votes than Rudy Giuliani. That's why we heard only the names of the top three finishers, McCain, Romney, and Huckabee. Fox will do anything to avoid embarrassing the ex-mayor of New York City.
Yeah.
And so that's from Terry. So do you think Terry's all wet?
Even as far as what Chris Wallace banning him, I would believe that, but I think that Billy is still wrong about that, and I think Terry's incorrect to say that Billy is right about Ron Paul in that respect. And I would say this, where the people, so many people have come out against him, even though he doesn't poll that high, Michael, is because what he offers is such a radical change in the way we do business in this country that a lot of the people who are sitting at the top and benefiting from the corruption of the Constitution would be out of work if his ideas of returning to the Constitution as it was originally written, you know, sound money and so forth. A lot of these folks would be out of business, Michael, and so I think it's people realizing that the whole nature of the game would change.
Hey, Mark, great to hear from you.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. You too. Now, before we go to Teresa in Scotts Valley, who has some accolades for my mom, I want to read this wonderful cartoon from Serial Faxer and describe it. It says, MZ, and then in great big letters, God. Yes, God, bless K. One, apologize to your mom and chomp on this crow sandwich. You are wrong. And it shows two slices of bread with a dead crow between the slices. And then number two, it says, please clarify your position. Well, a month or two ago, you did a Saturday special where you had several guests in studio and chastised and hung up on anyone who even suggested U.S. complicity with 9/11. Then a couple shows later started believing there was a nefarious U.S. connection. Which is it? Well, listen, Serial, I never started believing that there's a nefarious U.S. connection. I think I remember what you're talking about. At one point, you know what? The only time I remember hanging up on people and just saying, I don't want to hear any more that Bush stole the election. I think I did that once. I don't remember hanging up on anybody who suggested that 9/11 might have been an inside job. I honestly don't remember that. And I certainly never started believing it. What makes me different from my mother is that I don't automatically tune out and dismiss people as...
I didn't dismiss him, Michael. I don't think he'd make a good president.
Okay, that's fine. I'm not sure I know either. But you, even in this program, stop shaking your head. Even in this program, you said to me that that people who think that lose credibility in your eyes. And
that's
now you're
true.
Nodding your head and saying that's true. Okay, that's all I'm saying. And just
but
because
I don't discard them, Michael.
Okay,
they
just
come up with some good points also.
Just because,
but not to be president.
Okay, fine. I'm not saying that Ron Paul should be president either.
Okay.
All I'm saying is that I have an open mind for everything and I let people talk.
Thank you.
And I don't think I don't
okay, you're wonderful, Michael. You're really wonderful.
Thank
so
you.
Move on.
Let's move on to Teresa in Scotts Valley.
Hello.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi. Hello, Mrs. Twiddling.
Hi,
my husband and I are very happy to see you back on the air.
Thank you.
And we always listen to your comments. We wish they will be in a paper someplace.
Well, yeah, maybe one of these days with some help from
our next
nice
caller,
people.
From our next caller, June.
Maybe we'll be able to put together a book.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, June in Santa Cruz is going to be our next caller.
Okay, you're in my prayer, Mrs. Twiddling. We agree with you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Oh, okay. There. Thank you, Teresa. All right, let's go to June in Santa Cruz. June, you're on the air.
Hi, Emily.
Hey, June,
hi,
how are
June.
You?
Oh, fine, thank you. I'm so happy to hear your modest voice.
Thank you, June.
Hey, you are such a blessing.
Thank you.
And especially now, it's going to work for the president, the most important thing, and you come back the perfect time to clear up the voters' mind, to choose, know how to choose. Well, just better. Knows better how to choose the president.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we should listen to all of them.
Yeah, but you make things clear, and you know, you just confirm what I've been thinking, what I've been saying. You are the most brilliant lady in the universe.
Oh my goodness!
and I agree 100% of everything you said since the show starts this morning.
Thank you.
And your voice sounds more and more beautiful, and I just love you.
I'd love you too, June.
And,
thank you so much.
Hope to hear more from you, and take good care of yourself.
I think Kay should have her own show, and other people have said that before. You're shaking your head, Ma? No? Maybe sometime. We'll see. Thank you, June. Here's John. You know what? We have John and Salinas, Ben and Salinas, Victor and Salinas Valley, and Rich and Salinas, but all of those are very important people, but we have to do the commercials. So let's do our commercial break here, and we'll be back pretty quick. We'll try to get in these other calls. Stay with us.
Are you thinking about a remodel or new kitchen, entryway or bathroom?
If the answer is yes, then you need to go to Santa Cruz Tile and Stone, located at 1800 Soquel Avenue, number 2 in Santa Cruz. You'll find full and prefabricated slabs in granite, marble, limestone, and travertine at great prices. Let Santa Cruz Tile and Stone have the opportunity to meet your needs. At Santa Cruz Tile and Stone, you'll find one of the largest display and showrooms for tile and stone in the area. Come in and check out the displays, and let the expert staff at Santa Cruz Tile and Stone work with you to design your remodel or new construction project. Santa Cruz Tile and Stone is open Monday through Friday from 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Don't forget to bring the kids, as Santa Cruz Tile and Stone is kid-friendly with a kids' play area to keep them entertained while you shop. Santa Cruz Tile and Stone, located at 1800 Soquel Avenue, Unit Number 2 in Santa Cruz. Phone 421-0292. That's 421-0292. Santa Cruz Tile and Stone. The following is an important message from Pacific Gas and Electric Company. Recent severe winter storms in northern and central California caused significant and lengthy outages throughout our service area. At PG&E, we realize these outages may have seriously impacted you. And for this reason, our dedicated employees have been working day and night to restore power to approximately 2 million of our customers. The safety of our customers and our crews is a top priority. Power will be restored to all customers as it is safe to do so. If you're still experiencing outages, please avoid downed power lines and contact PG&E by calling our outage information hotline at 1-800-PGE-5002 or by visiting our website at pge.com for more information. We'd like to thank our hardworking crews for their unwavering commitment, and we thank you for your considerable patience and understanding during this trying time. Life's pretty good, business is great, and people are wonderful. There's so much more to life than the subprime loan mess. We live in a place many others can only visit. Randy Turnquist understands that. There are buyers who are buying and sellers who are selling. If you need help buying or selling a home, or just have questions about your situation, give Randy a call at 831-566-2590 or toll free 888-496-9655 or visit KSCO.com and search for Realtor.
Okay, welcome back to the closing minutes of the KSCO Saturday Special. Back to the phones we go. John and Salinas, you're on.
Hello?
Hi, John. You're on KSCO.
Yes, I was watching John McCain and then Warren, Michigan, at a town hall meeting, and he said he was endorsed by Henry Kissinger and George Shultz, among other people. So what would you think of him now?
I don't know what to think of him. I don't think that he is presidential material. Sorry. I know that he was a prisoner during the war, and I don't like the way he thinks. If he keeps saying we can't have anything like waterboarding, no matter what the enemy does, we're better than that. That's no way to fight a war, to say we're better than that and we're not going to do it, even though waterboarding does not kill anybody or maim him. The only thing it does is scare him. And what's wrong with scaring the enemy to get information that is going to save our own soldiers?
John and Salinas, thanks for your call. Victor in Salinas Valley, you're on the air on KSCO.
How you guys doing today?
Good, Victor. We've got to move real quick here because there's only a couple minutes left.
I'm a diehard Republican. I haven't really seen anybody I want to vote for because I haven't heard anybody say they want to lower my taxes.
Well, Ron Paul wants to abolish the IRS. Have you heard him say that? I've heard that lots of times.
That would
be great. Well, I've heard that, but he's got about as much chance as a snowball in Hades.
Okay. All righty. So the reason you called is to say there's no candidate for you.
Well, I'm really undecided until I hear somebody say they want to reduce taxes. I mean, if you stop and look, we're the most heaviest taxed people in the world.
Yeah.
And you probably also agree, as I do, that we should get rid of the IRS.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Sure. It was brought in just to fund a war. I think it was World War One or World War Two.
Mm-hmm.
And it was... I don't even think it was in the Constitution.
The Golden Gate Bridge was built, and they agreed, they said they were going to charge a toll until it was paid for.
Well, and, absolutely.
And then they kept charging the toll, even if it's been paid for 100 times. Anyhow.
People don't realize how much they're taxed until they sit down and start counting it up. I mean, you count fees and everything like that. All that is just another word for taxes.
Okay, Victor, thank you. Rich and Salinas, you're on KSCO. Quick.
Yeah, Kay's whirling for president. I'm writing your name in, Kay, when we have the ballot out here.
Okay. I think I'm too old.
Oh, I don't care. We're going to get you on the ballot anyway. Everybody in the community around here, Salinas, Watsonville, and Santa Cruz, write Kay's name in. Hey, I just have one quick thing. If we were trying to pass our Constitution today, do you think anybody would be able to pass our Constitution and Bill of Rights? I doubt if we get anybody putting their names down and saying we pledge our lives and our fortunes for that.
Right. That was a different age, long, long time ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rich. Here's Ben and Salinas. Ben, you're on KSCO.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Hi.
I respect your mother's integrity and tenacity to sticking to her points. I'm going to make three bullet points on what you guys have been talking about. Number one, 9/11. Cheney directed that attack. He vectored in those planes. Norm Mineta was there, and so was an aide that came in and said, we're within 10 miles, and do the orders still stand? And Cheney said, has anybody told you any different? That was in front of Norm Mineta. Point two, immigration with all these racist, this anti-Mexican sentiment of your listeners, the financial security of California, the state of California, is built on the backs of Mexicans, not just Hispanics. Mexicans are that's the key to the economy of California. Number three, waterboarding torture. And I say this with all due respect to Kay and June and the rest of these Bush bots, is that if they were to torture Kay Swirling, wonderful woman that you are, Kay, you would swear you planned 9/11. That's the effect of torture. It's no good. It's inhuman. And I'm surprised, the wonderful mother that you are, that you would go with torture. And I love this country as much as you, but from a different perspective.
It's not torture.
Thank you, ma'am. Have a nice day.
You too.
Okay, there goes Ben in Salinas. that's the end of... Hey, Dave?
Yes, sir?
Dave, you know, I'm upset.
Why is that?
I think we forgot to... This is the first time in the history of the Saturday special that we didn't do the opening... Hour
That's
two
right,
opening.
Yeah, the hour two intro.
Okay, we're already eating into Fox News. We have the closing, mm-hmm. You know, for I have it in here that that's all, folks.
Right.
Normally, that's what we should do now.
Right.
We actually should have done it a minute and a half ago, a minute and 45 seconds ago.
Right.
But I just can't live with, I couldn't live with myself if I didn't just play this, even though it's an hour late.
Oh, you're the owner.
Hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Because we missed it earlier, I'm just going to shut up and let the music play. Thanks for being with us. You were great. Historic number of phone calls. Great to be with you here.
That's all, folks.
KSCO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. Here's Fox News in progress.
And a lot of nuances that maybe you never learned in history class.
Of course, Tommy Hilfiger, the name, it needs no introduction. But George Lois is a name that folks may be a little bit less familiar with, but certainly most Americans have seen his work. The two of you have really collaborated on this.
Well, George Lois is a genius. He really is responsible for pulling all of these pieces together. It was certainly my idea to create an iconic American book, but without George, it never would have come together to the extent that it has and as uniquely as it has, because he positioned sort of the good, the bad, and the ugly all together and makes it very interesting page by page.
We've just spent a few moments with Tommy Hilfiger. I'm Melanie Grunham, and this is Fox News Radio. Contract talks underway today between members of the Directors Guild and Hollywood Studios. Striking screenwriters say they wish the directors all the best. The U.S. has been walking a diplomatic tightrope from some time now, balancing relations with communist China and the breakaway island of Taiwan. Some new election results may help.
Taiwan's opposition nationalist party winning big in legislative elections, boosting the Kuomintang party's bid to retake the presidency in March. The KMT, which won closer ties with China, picking up 81 seats or 72% in the parliament, while the ruling Democratic Progressive Party picked up just 27 seats. The results, a clear humiliation for President Chen Shui-bian, who's now announced he's resigning as DPP chairman. Lillian Wu, Fox News Radio.
Riding off into the sunset, Fox News Radio's Lisa Brady on what's being done to save a legendary school in Austria.
Nothing stays solvent forever, apparently. Vienna's renowned Spanish riding school, said to be on the verge of bankruptcy after 430 years in business. The school, famous for its white Lipizzan stallions and their elegant strutting and dancing. It's also one of the Austrian capital's top tourist attractions, but lost nearly $3 million last year. School officials now working on a bailout plan, but a planned U.S. tour is canceled. Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
Her simple life now includes diaper duty. Reality show star Nicole Richie giving birth to a baby daughter yesterday in Los Angeles. Dad is rocker Joel Madden of the band Good Charlotte. He says the couple is blessed the baby is healthy and beautiful. Her name, Harlow Winter Kate Madden. Richie spent 82 minutes of her pregnancy in jail on an impaired driving charge. And E! Online also reporting singer Christina Aguilera has had her baby. We don't know yet, though, if it's a boy or a girl. I'm Jane Metzler, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It's Saturday, January 12, 2007. I'm Dave Michaels with your weather forecast. And today's forecast calls for decreasing clouds as the day progresses. Highs should be around 65 degrees with winds light and variable. Tonight, you can expect mainly clear conditions and lows around 41 degrees, while tomorrow, mainly sunny conditions can be expected with highs around 65 degrees. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for today, east winds 5 knots, becoming west in the afternoon. Wind waves 1 foot or less, and a west swell 8 to 13 feet at 16 seconds. Outside KSCO Studios, it is now 56 degrees. We're coming up on 12:06, and it's time for Perspectives right here on AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz.